Coming to you now is Lehem Panim with your host, Pastor Cameron Urey, Senior Pastor and Bible Teacher at Renton Park Chapel in Renton, Washington.
Hello and welcome again to Lehem Panim. We've been talking about the first great persecution of the early church, which begins in Acts chapter 7 with the stoning of the first Christian martyr, Stephen. And after his death, the church is driven out of Jerusalem. And Philip, the apostle, he even goes so far as to take the good news of the gospel of Christ into the region of Samaria. And today, I would like for us to take a look at a passage of Scripture that ties in and really helps for us to apply what is happening here in Acts chapter 8. And that is James chapter 1. And we'll start with verses 1 through 2, which read, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes in the dispersion, greetings. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. Now, James was probably written before AD 50. And if that is correct, then it makes James the earliest of all the New Testament writings, with the possible exception of Galatians. And so imagine, the first command given in what is very likely the very first Christian epistle is a command that completely changes forever how Christians are to think about trials, tribulations, and persecutions. First, he says greetings, which, as we'll talk about later, is actually a call to rejoice. And then he says in verse 2, count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. Now, when you and I face trials in our lives, our tendency is often to immediately shift into frustration. God, why are you allowing this in my life? Did I do something wrong? Are you angry with me? Do you really care about me? And if you do, how can you allow this to happen to me? But the very first point made in what is likely the very first book ever written in the New Testament is that suffering is not something to complain about, but something to rejoice about. Now notice I didn't say we're to rejoice in. Many people say that we're to maintain joy even in difficult circumstances. And you know that's true. But James isn't talking about only keeping joy in the midst of trials. No, James says to count it joy when we meet trials. Trials themselves are what he says ought to produce joy in us. And I want you to catch that because that was one of the most profound concepts that these early Christians in the book of Acts had. And when you look at the early Christian martyrs, of whom Stephen here is the first, that's exactly what you find. Christians who rejoice not only within difficult circumstances, but because of difficult circumstances. And part of that is that they have the privilege in partaking with Christ in his sufferings. But again, it goes even further than that. They rejoice not only because they're participating with Christ in his suffering, but because that suffering, it's the means through which Christ is maturing their faith and developing them and drawing them closer to him. James Packer, he makes the point very clearly in his book, Your Father Loves You. He says, this is the ultimate reason, from our standpoint, why God fills our lives with troubles of one sort or another, to ensure that we shall learn to hold him fast. When we walk along a clear road, feeling fine, and someone takes our arm to help us, likely we would impatiently shake him off. But when we're caught in rough country, in the dark, with a storm brewing, and our strength spent, and someone takes our arm to help us, we would thankfully lean on him. And God wants us to feel that our way through life is rough, so that we may learn to lean on him thankfully. Therefore, he takes steps to drive us out of self-confidence to trust in him, Two, in the classic scriptural phrase, for the secret of the godly man's life, to wait on the Lord. You know, some time ago, I remember I had a conversation with a gentleman about the persecution that the church is going through. And we talked about the reality that in and throughout history, persecution became the engine that drove the church. The harder the church was persecuted, the more they grew. And I think part of that was that people witnessed how these Christians suffered, the joy they found in and through suffering, and they wanted that in their lives as well, as they faced their own suffering. You know, in the 3rd century, a famous Christian named Saint Cyprian, on his way to die a martyr's death, he wrote from Carthage to a friend of his named Donatus. He said, "This seems a cheerful world, Donatus, when I view it from this fair garden under the shadow of these vines. But if I climbed some great mountain and looked out over the wide lands, you know very well what I would see. Brigands on the high road, pirates on the seas. In the amphitheaters, men murdered to please the applauding crowds. Under all roofs, misery and selfishness. It really is a bad world, Donatus, an incredibly bad world. Yet in the midst of it, I have found a quiet and holy people. They have discovered a joy which is 1,000 times better than any pleasure of this sinful life. They are despised and persecuted, but they care not. They are masters of their souls. They have overcome the world. These people, Donatus, are the Christians, and I am one of them." I love what he says, they are masters of their souls. They have overcome the world. These Christians, they had that strength of character, that steadfastness, that trials produce. And James' second point is that steadfastness, it comes through testing. He says in verse 3, "For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness." In fact, you might also accurately say that steadfastness, it comes only through testing. We're never growing more than when we are being tested, than when we're meeting resistance. You know, on December 29th, 1987, a Soviet cosmonaut returned to the Earth after being 326 days in orbit. And he was in good health, surprisingly, which hasn't always been the case in these record-breaking voyages. 5 years earlier, touching down after just 211 days in space, which I think is still a long time, two cosmonauts, they suffered from dizziness, high pulse rates, heart palpitations, and they couldn't even walk for a week. And after 30 days, they were still undergoing therapy for atrophied muscles and weakened hearts. Because what happened was, at zero gravity, the muscles of the body, it began to waste away because there wasn't any resistance. And so to counteract this, the Soviets prescribed a vigorous exercise program for the cosmonauts, and they invented the penguin suit, which was a running suit laced with elastic bands. And so it resists every move the cosmonauts make, forcing them to exert their strength. And apparently the regimen worked very well. But you know, you and I, we often long dreamily for days without difficulty. But you know, God knows so much better than we do. The easier our lives are, the weaker our spiritual fiber is as well. For our strength of any kind grows only by exertion. But there was another thing that Cyprian, on his way to die that martyr's death, he pointed out that is absolutely important for us to grasp if we're to understand what fruit steadfastness produces in our lives. He says of Christians, they are masters of their souls. In other words, they're not in bondage to sin or any kind of darkness any longer. but they're living lives free of sin. Sin has no authority over their lives whatsoever. And that's James' third and final point. He says, "And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." Now notice he doesn't say partially holy or partially perfect, but still sinning occasionally. No, the kind of perfection that he's talking about is a present perfection that is complete, lacking in nothing. He offers us, in the trials we face every day, the means of becoming holy. Why can we rejoice in suffering? Because in it, God is helping us, empowering us to be like Jesus. Becoming perfect and complete, lacking nothing. The first teaching given in the New Testament to some of the very first believers in the early church is that we are called to be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. We are called to be holy. Not perfect in the sense that we won't ever make mistakes, but perfect in the sense that we're so filled with God's love and His presence in our lives that He gives us the necessary spiritual equipment that we need to resist temptation and to remain victorious over sin, to become masters of our souls. And so what I think James wants us to understand about trials and sufferings is that when we know what the purpose of suffering is, though we might not immediately see why we're going through a particular suffering, we can get through it because we know that in that suffering, God is making us more like Himself. Even if we don't know why we're going through it or why God has allowed it, we know what God is using it for in our lives. And that is to move us towards that perfection in holiness. And it's in those moments that we're closest to Him and growing the most. In the first line of James, he says greetings. But that word greeting, that translation, it's kind of a little bit stilted because the Greek word literally means rejoice. He writes to them and says rejoice. Joy in Christ through trials is, in the mind of James, the starting point of what it means to be a Christian. Not to get overwhelmed, not to ask God, why me? But to rejoice that in our suffering, we are being made perfect, lacking nothing. Are you overwhelmed with life today? Or are you rejoicing in your Lord? Are you allowing trials to break your spirit? Or are you allowing those trials to produce in you the steadfastness of Christ? As you go to work this week, as you take life day by day, you're going to face trials. There may be people like Saul who are seeking to ravage you, circumstances that are bringing you down. But the question is, are you going to allow those trials to draw you closer to God or to drive you farther away from Him? Will you allow Christ to take your hand and drawing you closer to Him lead you through your darkness? This week, rejoice that God is using your trials to make you more like Him and to further His salvation work. Glory in your suffering so that in your suffering, the world might see in you the glory of Jesus. Amen.
Today's episode of Lehem Panim has been made possible by Renton Park Chapel, a church that is committed to the ministry of sharing the joy of hearing and doing God's Word, and to the mission of bringing people into the life-giving presence of Jesus Christ in and through vibrant preaching, teaching, Bible study, prayer, and ministry to a world that is in desperate need of the healing touch of Jesus Christ. If you'd like to learn more about our ministry here at Renton Park Chapel, or would like to request any of our messages here on Lehem Panim, you can visit us online at rentonparkchapel.org or lehempanim.org. You can also find us on both Facebook and Twitter. We look forward to hearing from you, and thank you for listening. And may you know all the fullness of having in your life the bread of the presence of God.